Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. Remember, we'll be breaking shortly for the regional roundup. I believe we have that today. So I should go in another 5 minutes or so, I believe, back to Michelle for the regional roundup. But in the meantime, we'll take a few more calls and queries. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Good
morning, sir. How are you doing? Good to hear you.
I'm pretty good. You said you would take a few more calls and go back to the program?
No, I'm saying before we do regional roundup.
A few more calls? Well, just 5 minutes, Peter. I hope I get back in there after you want to finish my contribution.
I thought that maybe your contribution would be brief.
Is that brief?
Yeah.
Well, how can I be brief when
all
I hear...
All at you, sir. Go right ahead.
How can I be brief when I hear Sam Waller by the name of Vezzy referring to me as his good friend? Which, in truth and fact, is indeed true.
Well, I would like to think so, that y'all
yeah,
are friends.
Yeah, my good. We hang out together and so on that night. Now, Peter, I must first assure that first answer, though, did you spoke to Mr. P? This morning?
He called this morning and spoke briefly.
Well, I'm the most surprised man.
Right.
I heard Mr. Pree call this program and say to the moderator that the one be hearing him for the next 4 months, he will be working with Corey. It looked to me as
thinks
though
is so too. Auntie America.
It looked to me
you
as
you remember Auntie said that he done with the calling program, period.
Yeah.
But finish. Tired. Done with it.
Peter, it looked to me as though Mr. P get fired before he get the job. Now, Peter, I had really called to speak or respond to Wesley, but I would leave it until Friday because he said to you that he wanted to speak to you concerning who are lodging in Parliament. Mm-hmm. And, Peter, I would like you to take my advice. Don't ever discuss anything about anyone lodging in Parliament with Wesley because... If Wesley attempt to bring such a discussion, Peter, it would be a great disservice to the Honourable Prime Minister Mayor Morley, who he referred to as his Prime Minister, but he referred to her as he's saying that he is a mayor beat. That's what I want to say. You remember saying that to you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I would advise. Basically, so that's why we would advise you on basically not go down that road. Because Prime Minister Motley bring a young, dynamic team to the country and ask the electorate of this country to elect them to help her do the work and the damage that was done by the Democrat Labour Party, which the people obliged and they did give her the team she had wanted. Peter, if you go down that road, you'll be doing a great disservice to the Prime Minister. And then it will cause me now to respond Friday, and indeed I will tell you who I believe are really loitering in the place.
You don't want to get a jump start by giving your views?
No, let me wait till Friday. If you begin the discussion, then I will respond to him. I will wait and laugh at his contribution, and I will tell you who is loitering.
Let me say, though, just before, because I mean, I didn't say this to him. I think that he's of the opinion that I'm going to offer opinions on who I believe is loitering.
Yeah, that's what you want.
Right, but I don't know that I think that anybody's loitering, quite frankly.
Exactly,
I think that some ministers are performing better than others, but I don't necessarily know that any of them are loitering. Loitering is a strong word.
You know what he's referring to as loitering? Because he had not seen people like the past members of the Democrat Labour Party parading on national television every night, speaking and shouting loud and still going to check the ministries, they're doing absolutely nothing. Mm. You got ministers in this government that performing so well that you don't even hear the public servants complaining about what's going on in the ministries.
I think for me one could say the benchmark for loitering in Parliament is Patrick Todd. That has always been my view.
Exactly.
When I think of ministers whose presence...
You shouldn't go into discussion.
I'm just saying that, for me, that's the benchmark. When I think of ministers whose presence over a period of 10 years has not really been noticed by anyone significantly, I think of him. No, my point is that does any of the current ministers rise to the level of Patrick Todd? I think not. And that to me is this whole question of loitering. That's my starting position.
I want to come back and do it.
I hear music and it's only 53 minutes past the hour of 11, so I would say you continue because Michelle got 2 minutes for you. So carry on.
Okay. Well, listen, but what you really want to stop this conversation with Wesley, I was going to be on the Friday, but casually, he is the man. He's the one who really caused me now to hold off my contribution concerning Wellesley. You know, Peter, I could not believe my ears when I hear Caswell Franklin make such a right about turn. You know, he's the first. No, Peter,
but I had to check myself because it wasn't if my earphones was working properly. I asked you to repeat it 3 times.
And you know the mistake you made, Peter?
What is that?
You should ask Caswell, how many members of his union has accepted the boss program?
All right.
How much percentage of you workers? Right. But let me get back in calling one for
that. All right, no problem. You stick a pin and you hold on. We'll be right back in about 10 minutes. We go to the regional roundup. Do stay with us. Welcome back to Down the Brass Tax. You there, sir?
Yeah, I'm here, Peter.
Right, so you can now complete your presentation.
Peter, I told you that I would want to, and I hope the press would pick up this. And next time they get in contact with Caswell, as I said to you previously, find out what percentage of his members have.
We heard that point, yeah.
Right, yeah. Right. Now, Peter, there's 3 more to go, you know. Verla De Pisa. She also had a problem with the boss program. And she likened it as a force, whatever she called it, on the public workers. She said it was being forced on public workers. And then she referred then to calling it as, referring to it as printing of money as well. And you know, Peter, I like to listen to Verla De Pisa because she continued to amaze me all the time. Because when Verla De Pisa mentioned about print of money, it tells me that she always does into something that she should stay far away from. Because print of money is something, Peter, that the people in this country get to the point where they didn't even understand the name print of money under the Democrat Labor Party. There was printing and printing and printing till it was going out of style under the Democrat Labor Party. And I find she always delved into these things that will always bring back the old haunting memories of the Democratic Labor Party to the people of this country. And I like the way she's going. Because we'd always remember the bad old days of the Democratic Labor Party.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you also had Joe Astley. He also referred to the boss program, also a printing of money as well. And then you had Scott Redhead. He made a last this effort just 2 weeks ago, Peter, trying to convince the public workers of this country not to buy into the boss program. So I'm waiting now to hear both Verla, Joe Attlee, and Scott Weatherhead, and waiting to see if they will make the same right about turn as Caswell Franklin. Now, Peter, we'll close by telling you this. I honestly support the idea of Prime Minister Motley as far as putting this thing about Nelson to the populace of this country. Because I remember clearly when she was on the campaign trail, she said it's supposed to be an open government and she was listening to the voice, it would be listening to the voice of the people. Up to this point in time, Prime Minister Molly has not heard my opinion on the removal of Nelson. And as soon as that forum starts, I will be there, and she will know exactly how I feel about Nelson. So I think it's a good idea. Put it to the people.
How do you feel about Nelson?
Peter, I'm making that decision when the forum
starts. No, man, come on. You can't
do
that.
I don't want to.
You just washed your mouth on Caswell. You got to say your view on the Nelson
I
thing.
I don't want to preempt what I have to say.
But the question of preempting it is asking, do you think he should stay or go? It's straightforward.
By saying I'm there to close my deal.
But you don't understand, but why not? You would only speak to the Prime Minister?
No, I would speak to whoever present.
But so right, I just present that I'm one of those people present.
Well, just for your sake, if you know moderate that I really appreciate, I would tell you, I honestly believe Nelson should go.
But then there was a problem. You know, the thing is that I don't have a difficulty with public consultations. When my challenge is when public consultations get to a stage where they become a thing in of themselves, in that we are having consultations for the sake of having consultations to avoid us having to make a decision, that's when I get concerned. And my feeling is that we have consulted on this issue enough.
No, but I believe if you're a Prime Minister, you make that commitment to people of Barbados, you can't regret that.
We had public consultation on the bonds? We have public consultation on tax measures? No. So I'm saying that public consultation is a selective process, and I think that we have to be very careful where we assume that everything has to be subject to public consultations.
So if you believe that it's just going out rooting, that's what you're concerned.
Well, the question of out rooting, he ain't got no rules. He's on a platform. He's inanimate.
I know, but I honestly believe, Peter, I think you need a consultation. Just hear the rules.
Do you think that there should be public consultation on hanging?
Listen, all you got to do, Peter, give me the rope. They ain't got me the consultation on hanging.
Yeah, there you go.
Just give me the rope.
So then where you don't think there needs to be consultation on determination of human life, but there ought to be consultation on this other matter. When I think about public consultation, I always say that to me, the Barbados Labour Party's most outstanding period in terms of progressive legislation was that phase in the 80s when they introduced the Family Law Act. They introduced the Medical Termination of Pregnancies Act. They introduced the Freehold Tenantries Act, all of which were done without public consultation. And you know why? Because if you had public consultation on medical termination of pregnancies or on the Family Law Act, the majority of people would probably have opposed it.
Okay.
Because right now in Barbados, there are still people that are uncomfortable with the idea that marriage can be conveyed outside of a church. So you get the point I'm making. If you are a progressive government, and certainly when I spoke to Billy Miller regarding those three initiatives, she made it clear that they understood themselves to be a progressive government and they were in office to make changes that would impact and improve on people's lives.
Okay.
The challenge with Nelson I'm having now is that it is a perception of myself as a Barbadian that I am not seeing reflected in him. And his presence offends me. And the longer he stays there, it offends me and several other Barbadians more and more. And the same can be said for the oath too, the oath of allegiance, where they swear allegiance to the queen, her heirs and successors. All of that, do you need public consultation to determine that it's time for that nonsense to stop?
But I honestly believe it should go. That's my opinion.
All right, so that is easy. So what you want to consult for then? You have just expressed your view, and the Prime Minister has heard your view. Because I suspect that either she be listening or somebody who would inform her has been listening.
I know when the Prime Minister, she is fully convinced, Peter.
Let's hope that she's convinced.
But Peter, listen, Kazwa end up with egg all over his face, and we're going to hear the reality of Verla, Scott Wellerhead, and Joe Attlee.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Kazwa got the egg all over his face.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Peter.
All right, thanks a lot for calling, sir. Good chatting with you. Down to Brastocks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Vickers.
Well, good afternoon, I'm sorry, yeah.
Good afternoon.
Yeah,
I just want to add something about the Lord Nelson statue.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I'm concerned, really, the only way to resolve this issue, which is the public issue, is for the government, in fact, to hold a referendum. Any other decision to remove the statue should not be based on a petition or a poll. And if we say that we are a democratic country, the only way forward is to have a referendum and let the citizens of Barbados decide it, and not a bunch of people who feel that they can do whatever they want and get away with it. I know I've heard your feelings. I heard your discussion last Monday on the Brastocks. And I thought it was quite appalling, to be honest with you. It almost seemed as if it was sort of an anti-British feeling. Hello?
No, I was listening for you to finish digging your grave, and then I will help bury you in it.
So keep digging. It should be a referendum to decide, and not a bunch of people who, in my opinion, shouldn't even have a say in it.
Right. No. Let's start with your view that this is a British thing, an anti-British thing. On what basis do you make that statement?
Almost like it.
Where does that come from?
Well, look. Why don't you go and pull down all the other British buildings, the Garrison, Savannah, and
you think that Nelson is just another British building?
That's the impression that I get.
No, but I'm asking you a question, sir. Do you think that Nelson is just another British building?
No, I'm not. It's not. He's a statue.
I know. And the point is that when I hear you say that, it's clear to me that you were not listening or following anything that I said. And it really makes me wonder whether it makes sense engaging you on the issue. I said...
No, I heard
A statue is a reflection of me and myself, and the reason it is there is because it has earned its right to be there. It is a something I can look up to, I can gain inspiration to, right?
Can I just say one
Nelson has made a contribution to the British Empire, and I believe that that's the reason why they have Trafalgar Square with Nelson's column and whatnot. But you know what?
I just want to end with one.
Yeah, but sir, I listen to you, and you listen. I listen to you extensively without interrupting you, and I'm asking to listen to my response. So I am saying that by virtue of the fact that he means nothing to me as a Barbadian, all of the other statues that we identified mean something to me as a Barbadian. That is the reason why I am saying he has no place. And I'm trying to understand from you, right? And if you would listen to me, you probably would be able to respond better. What does that have to do with my hatred of anything British? That's the biggest load of nonsense I've ever heard. It does not, because you're obviously not listening, or maybe you're not following what I'm saying. We're not talking about the British here. We're not talking about the British here. Nelson means something to the British, and that's the reason why they have Trafalgar Square. I am saying he means nothing to me as a Barbadian, because he has not contributed to where I am today. So his presence to me in the center of Bridgetown is offensive. What is anti-British about that?
But the people who...
Sir, please do not use that type of language on this program.
Barbados at that particular time.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, could I just say one thing? Hello?
I'm listening, sir.
Yeah, okay. Now, you spend half your time in Barbados and you spend the rest of the time in France or in Europe.
Yeah.
Well, surely there must be statues in France that probably need pulling down. Why don't you spend your time trying to get them pulled down?
Because I'm not French. Yet.
Yeah. But you're not really a true.
The moment when I become, well, it wouldn't be French, it would be Italian, then those matters will be of concern to me. For the time being, I'm Barbadian, and this is the space that I have a legitimate presence in, and that's the reason I'm speaking to this environment.
No, I tell you what, you are a very complicated moderator.
There's nothing complicated about me. I'm very straightforward. I am Belgian, born and bred. I have grown up in this environment, and I believe that things around me that are an edifice like that should have an expression of me. I think statues celebrate the people, and I see nothing in Nelson for me as a Barbadian to celebrate. What's so complicated about that?
Thank you and goodbye.
Yeah. I think what's really complicated is that I am speaking to an individual who appears to be Barbadian with a half-English accent. That's complicated. Because I am being told that I have issues with Britishness, but yet still that individual is not able to explain to me what exactly is the point that he's making about Britishness. I have a problem with Britishness. I love Britain. I've been to Britain. I love the place. There's nothing wrong with that. But I am saying that there are certain statues that are more relevant to British people than they are to Barbadians. Simple. You're not complicated. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, ma'am. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you. Mm-hmm. I just here still listening to the bit of incoherentness of the gentleman just now there. I think he probably mostly upset that Barbadians not opening them eyes and them no longer willing to be sat upon by white people, white British people. But that's another case for another day. What Barbadians talking about this Lord Nelson statue is not anti-British. It's anti-racist and all the ideas that colonialism represent. I don't think anybody in Barbados would say that they're anti-British. You understand? Because you can't hate a whole country of people. You don't know all of the British citizens that there is in. And the fact that most Barbadians try to argue against the fact that it needs to be taken down and it does not add up to anything that we are fighting for as Barbadians in the 21st century is very sad. Because I find a lot of Barbadians are just too comfortable with being given the short end of the stick. And as long as there's that comfort, nothing is going to change. As long as you are comfortable being given as little as possible, nothing is going to change. Too many Barbadians are comfortable, and that comfort is disturbing. Because when you look at the Americans and what they are fighting for, that's something we haven't fought for yet. We still under the colonialism, neocolonialism, and all that. We still under it. Because when you can look and see that our prime minister says she's not jumping on a bandwagon and she's not following the trends of the Black Lives Matter movement, that really says something about Barbados. You understand? I know we got we own problems here. That's why I ain't go saying that how we should fight like the Americans and whatever because of black and white police issues, but we have our own issues here. And it needs to be debunked. When you look at Barbados, you will see a serious divide. Private schools, majority white. Public schools, majority black. Look at private businesses. Majority of them are not owned by black Barbadians. They're owned by everybody but Barbadians. Whites, Arabs, Chinese, Indians, Jews, Lebanese, everybody own Barbados but Barbadians. You got certain parts of Barbados where you don't see any black people around. You don't see no black people around. The prime pieces of real estate are not owned by the majority of black people that live in this country. And you mean to tell me in the 21st century nobody is seeing that there's a problem? When you address these problems, people just get uncomfortable. People just start to shift. But as long as you are comfortable, that means that you got a veil over your eyes. An invisible hand is going into your pocket and taking your money. Literally, and it rain, and you still satisfied with that? Something got to be wrong with this country. People ain't opening their eyes. Why, Barbados, won't you open your eyes? Why?
Well, you know, ma'am, you spoke about, and I want to support you. You sound like a young person, and I want to support you in the effort that you've made to call the program and express your views. That's why I let you speak. I agree with probably about 90% of what you said. I think that there are some factual issues that you need to deal with, but that's perhaps better discussed on another occasion. I would just want to say, though, that this whole idea of human comfort is something that I realize that people, especially conservative people, like. Because we like a world in which we do not have to have uncomfortable conversations. I don't know if you've ever had to terminate a person's services. I don't know whether you've ever had to break up with a boyfriend or girlfriend, as the case may be. I don't know whether you've ever had to have a conversation with a parent. About a matter where you had far different opinions in relation to something. Like they wanted you to study medicine and you decided you wanted to study law. These are uncomfortable conversations. And I think that the human disinclination towards it is uncomfortable. And it is for that reason that you find the issues of race, issues of colonial oppression, are uncomfortable conversations that I believe that we would prefer not to have. You wouldn't be young enough to remember, old enough to remember this, but in the 1970s, the first major television series that spoke to slavery called Roots was released in the United States.
I remember watching Roots.
You're that old?
Younger. I watched Roots when I was younger.
Okay. Whoa. No, because when I saw it when it first came out in the 70s, you wouldn't have been around then.
Right, but it used to replay on TV. I used to live in a French country. It's called Martinique.
Okay.
So they used to play it
on television.
Yeah.
So basically, Roots started an uncomfortable conversation, and I remember the conversations as young people that we had in school, where the white kids at Foundation felt as though people were angry with them for something that they had done. And many of them were saying, well, this is nothing that we have done. And then a lot of the black kids were happy about the conversation because it gave them something to be angry with. But then a number of the black kids also felt that this was forcing us to deal with some uncomfortable truths that we would prefer not to deal with. But you know, when I asked you about the idea of terminating someone's services or having a breakup with a boyfriend or girlfriend or whatnot, it was because I think that part of being an adult is that from time to time you have to have uncomfortable conversations.
Yes, you got to deal with things.
We got to deal with it.
Otherwise, nothing is going to change.
And that's the reason why I am saying now that for me, the ball is in the government's court. Without any further conversation, we have had an uncomfortable conversation. Indeed, we have had an uncomfortable conversation for 200 years. It is time for that uncomfortable conversation to come to an end and for action to be taken based on what we know is the right thing to do. Or else we will continue having uncomfortable conversations for the next 200 years. And to me, it's not making sense. Part of being mature as a society is appreciating the fact that we can celebrate Parliament in a building that is colonial originally, and we can come out of it and we can look towards our borough in Independence Square, because that speaks to us and speaks to who we are. We can look towards the arch, the Independence Arch, because that speaks to who we are. But we then have to ask ourselves is, when we come out of this colonial building called Parliament and we look towards Nelson, does that represent who we are? Does that represent where we have come from or where we're going as a people? So I am with you 100% on that matter, ma'am, that I think we have to ask ourselves, how does this reflect where we are going as a society, and what are we taking away from this? And are we going to continue being uncomfortable with these conversations for a long time? Because that's human nature.
I think it really represents how things in Barbados seem to change.
Yeah. I think they will change, ma'am. I think they will change.
It can take quite a long time.
People
could still be crawling, but a statue of someone that's not even an ancestor, It really shows the general consensus when it comes to racism, colorism, and all sorts of institutionalized colonialism that happening. It really shows that the general mindset in Barbados is not going to change. And in the Caribbean, it's like that. Is like that, because when you go to Martinique, it's the same thing. When you go to St. Lucia, it's the same thing. Bahamas is the same thing. The only difference is people cover it better.
The question I wanted to ask you, though, with respect to Martinique, as I've been to Martinique, and what strikes me is that young people in Martinique, to me, see themselves as French. Martinique is not
that.
A colonial outpost. Martinique is a French department.
Right. Yes, it's a department, but I don't understand that. Like, I try to explain this to my French friends, that you are not French.
But they are.
The language you speak is French.
But what makes them French? What makes them French?
I try to explain it to them in this way, right? I am Barbadian.
Right.
I speak English.
Right, but you're not English.
If I tell you what I am Barbadian. I am not French. Yeah. I'm not English. I am Barbadian. You understand? I come from Barbados, and the language I speak is English.
Understood. The reason that I'm disagreeing with you is because I did a bit of the post-colonial political arrangement as well when I was teaching politics. And my sense is that, look, the British came to a situation where the British said, we have colonies. These are overseas dependencies, and we will deal with them in this way. They're overseas. They're dependent. They will get money from us, but they will not vote in the United Kingdom, and there are laws that can be different in some places, okay? To the best of my knowledge, that separation has now been more or less changed to some extent, where people who live in these overseas territories, as they're now called, receive similar treatment to that which a person in the United Kingdom deals with. And that's the reason why they had these issues with the laws relating to hanging and homosexuality, because those had to be brought in line with what applies in the European Union. That situation never applied in French for a long time, because the French have for a long time treated their colonies as overseas territories. So my thing is that it is not just that they speak the same language, but they vote for the president. They have representation legally and otherwise as though they were part of France. And I have often gotten the impression that they are, to some extent, more French than we are English. And when I say we, I'm talking about places like Cayman Islands and so on that continue to maintain that that status. But I'm hoping you can stay on the line for a little longer, ma'am, because I wanted to chat with you some more as a young person that seems to have some pretty progressive ideas. If you can stick with us for about 10 minutes, we will go now to the latest. And then when we come back, I will give you the opportunity to respond to what I said about the overseas territories and to bring your conversation to a close. Thank you so much for calling, ma'am. We will be right back with more of Down to Brass Tacks. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. Yep, we were having an interesting conversation with another young person, or with a young lady this morning, and I'm hoping that she's on the line and she can finish her response. Are you there, ma'am?
Yes, please. I'm still here.
Okay, so, I mean, I basically put my position on the table regarding this whole idea of a person from Martinique being French. I wondered if you wanted to make a response to it. And
It doesn't make sense. If I introduce myself to anyone from overseas or here, I'm not going to say I'm English. I'm going to say I'm Barbadian. Okay? And the fact that you think a person may think that they're French or English is ridiculous, because if you look on a map and you see where Martinique is, it's nowhere near France. Mm. So you could claim that you're French all you want, right? But once you go in France, you are a Negro and you are other. You are not French in their eyes unless you win a goal at a football match. You understand?
But
you
are not French. Yeah. I mean, I understand that position, but do you not appreciate that it is somewhat different for me to attempt to call myself English than for someone from Martinique?
Yes, it's very difficult.
No, I'm saying...
They don't have their independence. Precisely. So I see why...
So that's why you use Cayman Islands and England as a thing. A person who lives in Martinique, they vote in French elections. A person who lives in Martinique, they live under a French government. They're administered as part of France, and indeed, a person who lives in Martinique is treated no differently than someone who lives in Strasbourg, France, which is where I live.
They're not treated the same as regular French people would.
What's the difference in the treatment?
Well, in France there is racism, you know. And
yeah, but we're talking about the official versus the unofficial.
Whether your passport has the European stamp or not, at the end of the day, you will still be seen regardless of what's in your passport or how many degrees or accomplishments you have. You will still be seen as a Negro who is not French. Unless you do something that really gets everybody's eyes and attention and positivity on you, you are not French to them. You are an other. You are not one of them. You understand?
You see,
and that will always be the case.
I do feel, though, ma'am, that The French have made considerably greater strides regarding the streamlining of this relationship with their territories than the British have. And if I take, for example, the Hurricane Maria, within days of Hurricane Maria, the French President Macron made his way to St. Martin, and he visited with the French nationals that were living in the overseas territory called St. Martin. The British Prime Minister up to now has not moved himself from his location in Westminster to tour any of the overseas territories, whether it be Bermuda, Cayman Islands, and certainly not Anguilla or Montserrat that were devastated by Hurricane Maria. So the point I'm making is that I appreciate that all is not necessarily on an even keel, but I do feel that, and this is not reflecting a bias that I hold in any way towards the French, but they have made a greater effort in terms of dealing with their relationship to try to make it as seamless as possible to go from any of the territories to any of the territories. So as I said, a person who lives on mainland France is treated no differently as far as the government is concerned as a person who lives in Martinique. But I'll let you get the final word and on this matter.
Well, let me tell you why I don't really agree with some of what you said. When a French person comes to Martinique, it's not like if they're going to another country. They're going to their backyard, basically, their backyard beach. You understand? So, of course, they're going to be concerned if the beach that lies in their backyard is destroyed by a hurricane. Because at the end of the day, yes, there are French people that live in Martinique, and they will be affected as well. So, of course, they're going to go down there. You understand? But if no French people live down there, they would not care. You ever look at Mayotte or Madagascar or any of those other countries? They do not care.
Spanish, though.
Unless it's an area where there's a majority white or some French people that can say something that live there, they do not care. And I think that's the same thing with hair. That Englishman come talking about the Lord Nelson statue. I think they got more English people that he coming out the woodwork because they care. Because we are still England's backyard beach, if you understand what I'm saying. Right. Yes, we are independent, but are we really?
Mm-hmm.
Are we really? Because when you could look and people bought this place saying that how all things in America don't relate to us, no, they don't. But they still do, because things like that do happen here. And we affected, but just in a different way. It's not as overt as the racism that's in the States. It's very cold. It's very subtle. You do not see it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you live in this country and you experience this country and you feel the depression of the 20s, that you don't feel that you can go nowhere because of how the system is in this country, you are not going to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you really sit down with the children that say no on blocks or the children that don't live in the popular neighborhoods in Barbados, you're not going to understand what the general Barbadian feels. Because not every single Barbadian lives in a wall house. You can believe in the 21st century it's still got people living in shadow houses that doesn't have a bathroom.
Mm-hmm. I find that scandalous, quite frankly.
Do you understand? Yeah, mm-hmm. You understand, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's still got Barbadians living that trying to figure out where the next paycheck can come from. And then we want... What he do for me?
Yeah, you gotta watch your language, don't you?
I'm sorry, but like, what you. He do for me?
Thanks
still
a lot.
Still got people living in shadow houses. Like, come on, yeah. Barbados, wake up.
All right. All right, ma'am. I solicited your contact information, not for publication in this forum, but because I had a listener who runs another program and wanted to have you on as a young person to chat. So I'll make contact with you directly before passing the information on. And I want to thank you so much for calling and for bearing your heart on this important issue of colonialism and neocolonialism and what it means to us to be truly free. And I appreciate that very much. Thanks a lot for calling. I hope we'll chat again fairly soon. All right, so, you know, it's often important for me to make points and clarify. Nelson is the current conversation. I think that as we mature as a society over time, there's several things that we accepted as reasonable that we may very well want to challenge. So there may come a time where we may want to challenge the Codrington College, for example, that is named for a slave plantation that would have carried the name of Christopher Codrington. We may want to challenge that. We may want to challenge the identification of Carlisle Bay, the Lord of Earl of Carlisle, I believe was his name. A lot of his history seems to be speckled, and it's perhaps possible that we may want to not associate with that. But the important point is that maturity is the ability to have uncomfortable conversations and to deal with uncomfortable truths. And that's one of the points I was trying to make just now. And I do feel that Nelson represents an uncomfortable conversation that we are having for the last 10, 15, 20 years. We need to bring this conversation to an end, and we need to move on to other conversations that we may have, because I do not think that Nelson represents a victory and the end of it. Nelson is part of an ongoing conversation that mature societies will have about things that they have to do to reflect themselves and things that may not reflect very well. The United States has now started to have conversations about the naming of forts and military institutions after Confederate generals. After having a black president for 10 years, after having Martin Luther King and moving away from it, they are now having those uncomfortable conversations. So I am saying that there's no reason why we need to feel that this is the beginning and the end. This is part of an ongoing conversation that will, in due course, take aim at other institutions, other titles, and other names, and so on, that may very well not reflect the people that we are. So fasten your seatbelts, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Moderator.
How are you doing, sir?
The black president in America had it for 8 years, not 10.
Well, okay, sorry, 8 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to say this. Before I get on to what I really want to say, I want to talk with Mr. P. You know, in this country, we talk a lot of things about a lot of people when they get to a certain status in this country. And I want to congratulate Mr. P. for his agitation to get some kind of crossing, some kind of traffic control at the bottom of St. Silas Hill. He was on it and on it and on it and on it. I don't know if they was planning to do it from ever since, but I can tell you, if there was, I am sure that his agitation would have brought this correction at that corner. He would have brought it on with some speed. So, Mr. P, take a bow, sir. Them is the kind of people they want to hear, the people in this country talking about, when they do good things. You know, I mean, not necessarily when they do good things, but when they keep bringing up an issue that something should be done about, and nobody don't say nothing about them. And Mr. P, take a bow, sir. Take a bow. There's a fellow caller, a fellow commentator,
mm-hmm.
like yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, the next thing we want to talk about, Peter, you see, Nelson? Nelson, for me, is neither here nor there. And if they intend to move Nelson, they should go and put in the roundabout right in front of the harbor gate. That's where Nelson should go. So when the British people, the British tourists come out, they can see some remnants of the British Empire still in Barbados. Because as far as I'm concerned, Nelson is still an attraction. He is still an attraction, right? Because I have seen people come out to the port, British people, and go in Nelson and take pictures. I've seen that. So if you can move it, I don't agree with the Prime Minister to put it on there with the screw docks, because I don't know what part down there you can put it.
But these screw docks ain't happening no more?
But you listen to the Prime Minister?
Have you heard the Prime Minister? The decision at that time was to take him and put him down with the screw docks, but the screw docks ain't happening again.
But you heard the Prime Minister yesterday saying that a lot of work, extensive work, happened down with the screw docks, and down there's with space, he should go. I am saying that extensive work should be done by, down by the screw docks, and refurbish it in a way where the government could get some money from docking boats, small boats and things down there. Because as a young port worker, you don't want to get on the port anymore, and I didn't get nowhere. I used to go to school dock.
All right, but don't let me lose track, because you're saying that you want him in front the port?
If they don't know where...
There are some that would argue that most of our tourists come from flying. So maybe he should be out by the airport.
No, Peter. More tourists come here by ship.
From England?
From all about. Then come.
No, but you use as an example the fact that people take pictures by Norman Nelson. I'm not disagreeing, but I see people taking pictures by Busser. They take pictures by Arabara. But monuments, people generally take pictures by monuments. But that's the reason that you have a monument.
And that's why he's saying that Nelson... For me, it's a part of the attraction, the tourist attraction. Mm-hmm. And I believe they should leave him, and if they're going to move him, put him in front of the harbor gate.
But you don't have a notion for yourself that statues are not just about attractions, that statues are about an expression of what we are and who we are?
Statues are an expression of the past.
Right. But precisely, so in terms of your own perspective, because I know that you are a seaman, would you not think that a statue of somebody like George Ferguson has more place down by the port, than somebody like Nelson, who has not made a contribution to that? Because when someone goes down and they see a statue of Ferguson, and we ask, you know, but who is this Captain Ferguson character? And then you can talk about the contribution that he has made to seamanship.
Correct.
In Barbados, and that
Peter,
his children have made to seamanship, well, his son has made to seamanship.
And his grandchildren, too.
And grandchildren, right. So the point I'm making then is that you can't say that a statue is just an attraction, right? Animal Flower Cave is an attraction. You know, the wildlife reserve is an attraction. The monkeys up there, they are attractions.
Listen to me. They're planning to start a marine museum. I would risk to bet you, Peter. I would risk to bet you. That if they start a marine museum, you will never find that boat that Alves and the black boy and the white boy were across the Atlantic in front of Cape Verde to put in that museum.
Is it here?
Huh?
Is it here, that boat?
It should be here. It should be here, but I don't know where it is. The last time I saw that boat, it was somewhere about, I think it was down there, so by the hollow, down in the Shadow Drive,
mm-hmm.
boat down in there, and look as bad as ever. I am saying that is a part of our marine history, and that boat should be preserved. Tobias just rowed right across thousands of miles across the Atlantic, Peter, in that boat. And they didn't only row across the Atlantic. I think they came in a high position too.
Which is fine, but the point is that it means something to Barbados in some way, shape, or form. And I'm trying to understand against that background of that analysis, and you're agreeing with me about Captain Ferguson.
Yeah.
What business Nelson got in that? What is his relevance to Barbados?
The point I'm making is that I would say that if they start a marine museum, then Nelson is a good candidate for there.
Right.
That's why it's being spouted around, ain't it?
But in the meantime, what's going to happen? Because the marine museum is starting in a hurry and he's offending my eyes every time I see him. No.
In the meantime, but you're only one person, Peter. In the meantime.
But no, and a lot of people are offended by it.
But if an offender going, do like what it do with Saddam Hussein, and what it do with John Rhodes in England, and do like what it do with the other Confederate statues in America, want to go put it down for the one that moves.
Right, but then the point, my concern is that if you are looking at the Confederate flags in America, the Confederate statues in America, if you're looking at the Statue of Rhodes in the United Kingdom, we're talking about situations in which you have a predominantly white government that's dealing with issues of a racial minority. That's not the case in Barbados. So no group of thugs in Barbados should have to go and pull down any statue because we have a progressive black government. It's a majority.
And if they do it, Peter,
so why is it that a majority is protecting the interests of a minority expression, which is white racism?
If they go and put down Nelson, they should get the maximum time in jail. I say that. And I say it without any apologies. But let me move on.
All right.
I want to know what's your thoughts on... I would like to know what's your thoughts on school classes online.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
But that is all right for the children that is the fast, the quick learners. How about the slow learners?
Apparently the boat Phil Alves came across the Atlantic is by his house rotting up in Orange Hill. That's where it is.
All right, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. And I say that boat should be in the museum or that boat should be in a prominent place in this country so that Bajans can see that boat to see what two brave Bajans did. Peter, I crossed the Atlantic many times, going to Europe and going to Africa and going to South America, all about the world. I crossed the Atlantic, and the Atlantic is not the nicest place to be in the bad weather. And many two of them men can risk their lives to cross the Atlantic on our boat. And the government, whichever government, if it's this, the past, or whoever government, can allow that boat to be rotten in. That is a scandal, according to you, because you like to use the word scandal a lot.
I do.
Yeah, that's a scandal. That's scandalous. Yeah. But did I asking you, the online teaching, it is fine for children that learn quick. But how about the ones that don't learn as fast?
But the ones that learn slow, it may be even better. The challenge with online teaching is that if you have a situation where children have an attention deficit challenge, it's going to be difficult to keep their attention. So, for example, the online facility not only requires that you hold their attention, but that there's somebody at home to make sure they don't go outside and play.
Right, yeah.
So the child who is happier outside playing than in front of a thing, or the child who will say, I can carry the tablet outside and I can follow the program while my friend's playing. I can sit down under a tree with the tablet and I can, you know, follow it. That's a child that I would say is going to be disadvantaged because it does require a certain civility in terms of the environment in order to be able to follow the lessons.
Yeah,
it's not perfect, but you know what? Yeah. I think in a situation of COVID, it was the best that we could do under the circumstances. And I really congratulate the teachers for, you know, responding so quickly to that environment. Yeah.
Staying the course, according to Prime Minister. But let me tell you this, Peter. Let me tell you this. I hope that things will work out in a way where the children, all children can go back to school. Mm-hmm. And they mean probably before the year is finished, or if not, early next year. Mm-hmm. I prefer the children to be at school. Yeah. They would be in a better environment, conducive to learning, and that's where I would like to see all the little
children. I'm in agreement.
Yeah. Back in school. Anyway, right, there's some marine matters I would like to discuss, but I can wait.
But I'm glad to hear you calling the program again, so we need your weighing from time to time.
But listen,
I mean, you've got your moments where you start foolishness, huh? But I guess all of us have those moments.
All of me. And things to talk the most foolishness.
Who's that? Caswell?
No, Caswell.
Wesley?
Not my personal friend.
Wesley?
I'm talking about Frondell. There's only one thing that your Frondell said that I agree with him.
Which is what?
110%. And that is when he said, if he was to bring back the government, the last government, which I know is impossible, but he said...
Did he will leave CARICOM?
He will leave the court.
Okay.
The Caribbean Court of Appeal. And I feel he should left that.
That's the head reason why I'm glad that he didn't win back, because I would hate to think that's how Barbados is defined.
Everything that went to the Caribbean Court of Appeal against Barbados...
Everything that went represented what was right and Barbados was wrong. Because if somebody tells you you're wrong, that don't mean that there's anything wrong with them. It don't mean there's anything bad. Just sometimes you're wrong.
I find it strange that every decision...
You just tell me that I talk foolishness sometimes. Maybe there are occasions when I am wrong. Right, but because you tell me that I'm wrong and I accept that I'm wrong, that don't mean that you're a bad person. It just means that I was wrong. So if Barbados has been told that we were wrong, we were wrong. What we did to Shanique Myrie was wrong.
I don't know what we do to Shimon.
What we did to her was wrong. And then it was wrong not only that we did it, but it was wrong that we lied about it as a country.
I don't know that.
Shameful.
What I would like to see happen.
That is scandalous.
Let me tell you what I would like to see happen in this country. I would like to see the people of this country relinquish the negative and accentuate the positive. That's what I would like to see in this country.
They want
to
see that too.
Relinquish the negative and accentuate the positive. Peter.
All right. It's good to hear you. And as I said, I'm happy that you've found my number back and you're calling again. good talking to you. Take care. Dr. Brastatz, good afternoon.